Blog Talk Radio.
Give me fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire.
And welcome to Garage Talk Live. I'm your host, Vince Ponfigli, and it is Tuesday, September 26th. Jam-packed show for you today. We're going to have Mike Lewis from Dover Communications joining me and talk about the upcoming race weekend at the Monster Mile. And at the bottom of the hour, we'll have NASCAR Camping World Truck Series driver Jordan Anderson coming on. So, without further ado, let me bring on my very special guest, who's going to have a real busy weekend, if not a busy week, Mike Lewis from Dover International Speedway. Mike, welcome back to Garage Talk Live. It's going to be a jamming one this weekend.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Vince, for having us. We always appreciate it.
So we got Dover is the, again, and even with the new playoff format, that hasn't changed. The fact that you'll be the one that everybody's going to be trying to win or staying above 12th in the points, because after all is said and done there, four are going to be just regular competitors.
That's right. The Apache Warrior 400 presented by Lucas Oil is our playoff race on Sunday, October 1st. And, as we come down to it, since the format went to the elimination style, Dover has hosted the first elimination race all 4 years, and of course we're excited to do that again this year. It actually changes a bit next year with the new schedule and the new tracks coming into the playoffs, so we'll be actually the fourth race next year. But for right now, we are still the first elimination race, and we're certainly looking forward to that. And we know we have a tight there's a tight pack there at the transfer spot with Ricky Stenhouse, Austin Dillon, and Ryan Newman separated by just 1 point. So it should provide a very very exciting time there here on Sunday afternoon. And as we know, there's some favorites coming in. Obviously, there are no guarantees. The last 2 years for the elimination race, we've seen top stars like Jimmy Johnson and Kyle Larson be eliminated just because of parts failures or just bad luck. And, anything can happen here at the Monster Mile, obviously.
That's for sure. And I was just looking over the past two races, the one in June where Jimmy Johnson did get the win. He is the all-time winner at the Monster. And hometown favorite, I guess, in this race last year, which actually, believe it or not, is held on the same day, October 1st. Is Martin Truex Jr., who he's looked like he's staking a claim that he wants to win that Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series championship this year. So what a better way to do it than take two out of three at his home track?
Yes, he actually, as you said, he won the fall race here last year, and that was his second win in the first three races. And of course, he's already got a win at Chicago a couple of weeks ago. So that would be history repeating itself. And yes, Truex is clearly, I would think any objective observer would say he's the favorite for the whole playoffs. It's just from the way his team has performed here this year. And actually the last couple of years, of course, last year he had some bad luck at Talladega and was eliminated in that second block of the playoffs. But with this new points format, that kind of prevents, if you build up enough of a cushion, it kind of, through the regular season, it kind of prevents one big mistake from, or one piece of bad luck from ruining your whole championship heading into Homestead. So that's one, I think that's one thing in favor of the new point system that was implemented with the stages. And as you said, Jimmy Johnson, won in overtime here, a green white checkered finish that didn't quite get to the checkered under green due to a big wreck here on the backstretch. People remember Johnson passing our overtime line there to win it last time, just barely eking out a Kyle Larson. And so Johnson and Larson finished 1-2 in the spring, and that was Johnson's, as you said, his 11th victory here at the Monster Mile. So yes, he certainly knows how to get around this place. But as I said before, he's not immune to having bad luck either. So it's really anybody's race here when we come here on Sunday.
Well, that's the thing about the Monster is things can go real smooth for a really long stretch, and then Miles gets a little hungry and wants to eat up some cars, and he will do that.
Yes, we had everything was going pretty smoothly for Kyle Larson in the spring, and we actually had him up in our area a couple weeks back. We had him visiting a high school here and talking with some auto technology students, and we were thrilled, obviously, to get that opportunity with Kyle. But when he met with the media, he mentioned that, you know, he doesn't think tracks necessarily owe you one, but they've had their share of good runs that were kind of came up just a little bit short. He had that great race with Matt Kenseth in the spring of 16 there and finished second, and he had some bad luck in the fall playoff race last year with I believe he said it was a battery issue, and he finished back in the pack and ended up being eliminated from the playoffs here last year. And then of course this year he was pretty much cruising to victory, and then we have a wreck with, I believe it was less than 6 or 8 laps to go, and that bunched the field up again, and Johnson got him on a restart. So, and then there was a wreck after he passed the overtime line. So yeah, I think if I'm picking, I think Larson will probably be the car to beat, and it's time for him to lift one of the big trophies. One of the big Monster trophies here. He actually won the Xfinity Series race in the spring, so he's got a little one, but he's mentioned at the his school appearance last week that he would love a big brother to join that trophy case.
That's a pretty good sized trophy. I don't know, he's a little guy. I wonder if he could hold it. He needs some help.
Well, it's weight is probably about, you know, 40 or 50 pounds maybe, but it's not so much heavy as it is awkward. I've had to carry it several times to and from different events here around the area and back and forth from the media center to the trophies. And it's not so much heavy as it is awkward. You know, it's got a square base, but you have to watch out for the arms and head and everything. So we're very proud of it. We're proud that when online polls rank the trophies in NASCAR, it usually comes down to us and the grandfather clock from Martinsville. So, we're proud to have one of the iconic trophies in the sport.
Well, that is pretty good because, you know, before the Monster Trophy, the trophy from Dover did look rather regular. And when they came out with Miles the Monster, it does one of the other ones that was another former Dover Motorsports entity was the Les Paul at Nashville Super Speedway, which was a Dover track and painted by Sam Bass. That was probably worth collecting too. Kyle Busch didn't do it any justice when he smashed it in Victory Lane. That horrified everybody, though.
Yeah, that's the when people think of that old guitar trophy, that's kind of the first thing that pops in people's minds of the Kyle Busch Victory Lane celebration. I know he's been to Victory Lane a lot in his career through various series, but I would wager that one stands out to him as well, maybe just for the reaction of it. But it's going to be hard to. Even if for some reason the Monster Trophy were to fall, which hopefully will not happen, but it would take a pretty big hit to break that up into a couple pieces. So it's pretty sturdy fella.
That's pretty sure. Maybe you ought to get one of them little carts like they used to haul the Stanley Cup around, you know, so you don't pick it up too often.
Yeah, that's one thing. Nobody around here has to carry has to use white gloves when they cart it around. But we still try to use extra care for it, and we do realize that it is a special memento for the drivers, and we have it featured prominently in our infield media center when media and drivers come in for different events. It's right in front waiting to greet everybody as they come in.
That is a it is a sight to behold. Now, your weekend is actually kicking off on Thursday. You're going to have the Neuro Groove Race Day event, and Martin Truex will be there to, I guess, as the highlight of the festivities, I guess, let everybody know what's going to be going there. Is that just like a private function thing?
It is a private function. It's not an event for fans, but it is something very special that we've been working very closely with Furniture Row Racing on Martin Truex's team, and it's a program where some paralyzed veterans have an opportunity through technology where they use their where they're able to use their mouth and other features that they're able to actually drive and control a race car. And we're giving them the opportunity to do that with Martin Truex Jr. at our facility on Thursday morning, before we have to shut it down and get everything ready for our triple header weekend. But yes, that's a great opportunity Thursday morning with NeuroGroove, and we've been working very well, very closely with Cal Wells and his group, and David Ferroni from Furniture Row Racing, and Barney Visser, obviously. And it should be a very special event, and the forecast looks great for all 4 days of our weekend, so there shouldn't be any reason why we don't get that off. And yeah, we're very much looking forward to that.
Well, if the weather patterns hold true, it should be good into like middle of next week for everybody. And whatever I get here in Western Virginia, you guys get a little later on, maybe a day later. So we're looking good into middle of next week. So Dover should be fine and dandy. And of course,
yes, right. We're looking forward to that. We've been owed a nice set of weekends here for a couple years now, and our spring weekend turned out perfect, and this one's looking the same. And as you mentioned, we do have three races this year. Not only the Apache Warrior 400 presented by Lucas Oil on Sunday, but we have the NASCAR K&N Pro Series East finale on Friday afternoon, which is the National Fallen Firefighters Foundation 125, presented by Carl Deputy and Son Builders, which is a local Delaware contracting outfit. And then on Saturday, we have the Use Your Melon Drive Sober 200 NASCAR Xfinity Series playoff race, which will be the second playoff race for the Xfinity Series bunch. And that's through our partnership with the Delaware Office of Highway Safety. So we have a great great lead up to the Monster Energy playoff race on Sunday with those two races.
That's the good thing about going to a race event at the Monster Mile. You have two events with three races per weekend in June with the Camping World Truck Series, which is always a good event. And and then the finale for the K&N East Pro Series. And usually they crown the champion right at the track after the race. So
they do. We're planning on that again this week. This year we actually have a closer race for the title than we've had in the last couple of years. We have some second and third generation racers coming with Todd Gilliland and Harrison Burton. They're definitely some stars of tomorrow that are going to be racing right here on Friday. They're only separated by 8 points at the top of the K&N Pro Series East standings. So that should make it for an exciting finish for the championship and for the checkered flag. Both of those young drivers actually did race in the Truck Series race here in the spring. So they did get a feel for the track. They won't be coming in cold. They both have some experience with the track, so that should help them as they race for the championship. And if people are interested in coming out to see them, they can visit doverspeedway.com or call 800-441-RACE, R-A-C-E, for ticket information. And another thing to keep in mind for our Friday and Saturday races, just like all across NASCAR, children 12 and under can get in free. And it's only $10 for junior tickets, children 12 and under, again on Sunday. So that's a great deal for families looking for something to do as we build those fans of tomorrow today.
That's for sure. And that's just the on-track stuff. Now, Dover also has a lot of stuff going on in the Midway, in the Fan Zone area. You have a free concert, which will be prior to Sunday's race. And again, of course, autograph sessions and all that good stuff around Miles with photo spots and of course, the campgrounds, everybody starts hauling, trying to get in there a little early so they can avoid hotel stays and in the comforts of their own home away from home.
Yes, our campground opens one of the earliest on the circuit. Campers have actually been on site here since last Saturday. So if campers want to come down here, they can stay a full 9 or 10 9 days here at the track. So considering the proximity and all the events like you mentioned that are out there, that's a pretty good deal for the campers that follow the circuit around. The pre-race concert that you mentioned on Sunday, the big act is the Struts. They're a British rock and roll band. They've opened for acts such as the Rolling Stones and some other great Motley Crue and some other great rock artists. They actually appeared at our Firefly Music Festival a couple years ago. Some fans will remember. So they have a great reputation. They're building a great fan base, and we're very excited to welcome them on Sunday. And on Saturday, we have more of a country flair with Tom Dixon playing at the AAA stage at Victory Plaza, as well as the James Handy Band. So we're looking forward to all those free concerts out there that we provide for the fans as well.
I was going to say, having a rock band is a little change of pace. Usually it is a country band out there, so
it's something
gives
for everybody.
Everybody a little taste of something. That's right, and that's another big thing. You probably can scout that talent that comes in at the Firefly Festival, so you know who to pluck.
Right, it gives us a good idea of like who's, you know, not only who's going to be in the area or who's going to be available at certain times, but just who people like to follow. And just like all NASCAR, just like all tracks, not only in this region but across the country, we're always looking to expand our fan base and promotions such as getting newer, fresher bands in or junior tickets and, you know, promoting our Monster Mile Youth Nation area where we're going to have face painting and games for children and everything. It's promoting, trying to, you know, just making people realize that it's more of a family atmosphere and there's fun for everybody in the household that, you know, maybe they don't realize when they just flip on a race for an hour every week, and they might not see a lot of the stuff that goes on outside the track. But yes, we are making a conscious effort to make everything more fan friendly and child friendly, so they'll want to come back in the future.
And it's always a good thing. And you also have the pit stop, the Mission Barbecue Buffet, and get people down there to eat some of that food. And of course, seafood is always a big thing at Dover. It used to be years ago, everybody would, to Friday night or Saturday's activities, they would head out to Sambo's back there and hang there all night. And I think a lot of the drivers and teams still go out there after track activity. So if the fans want to hunt them down, I guess that's where they can go. Probably get up a little closer to them as well.
Yes, Sambo's is a local treasure here as far as their seafood. They're famous throughout the region, and it is just a short trip down some back roads toward Lipsick, Delaware, which is right near the Delaware Bay. It's where all that fresh seafood comes from. And yes, it is a very popular spot for NASCAR officials and drivers. And if fans are not in the area this weekend, but come through during the rest of the year, they will see some mementos from past visits there on their walls. And yes, they are a very popular spot, and as well as many of our other restaurants and eateries here in the Dover area during race weekend.
And you still have, and you have the ones inside the casino hotel, which, you know, a lot of things go on at the track other than just racing. That from where it started years ago, when I used to go, there was a 500-mile race on an asphalt track to where it is now, with the casino, the bridge at where the premium seating bridge over Turn 3 there, and it's just amazing how that's become. Cause I've been there when they opened that up, that Turn 3 bridge, and can't believe how quiet it is in comparison to the one down by Turn 2 where you cross over.
Yeah, the Monster Bridge is designed for, you know, it is designed for people to to sit and enjoy and relax the and take in the race. And USA Today a couple years ago called them the best seats in NASCAR, and I think you can expand that to, you know, all sports in general. I mean, where else can you sit above, literally above the action? And it's not, I can't think of any other place where that allows you to do that. Meanwhile, like you said, the turn two bridge was just designed just for, you know, for pedestrian traffic here. And yes, it is a little, it is much louder in turn two than it is in turn three bridge. And you mentioned the casino. It's funny when now I grew up about 15, 20 miles south of the track. So I've seen this place build up through the years as well. But now when we have drivers coming in to talk about Dover or coming in and you just hear them talk about Dover in general, one of the things they always mention is the casino and how they'd like to have a little better luck at the casino when they come back the next time. Kyle Larson, as I mentioned, was at a local school a couple weeks back, and he said, "You know what? I haven't really walked away with a lot of cash from the casino, so hopefully he'll have some better luck when he hits the tables on Saturday and Friday, and maybe some fans, if they're so inclined, can play right alongside him."
That's always a thing, and because of the fact that everything is just right there, if you don't want to go too far out, you can hang there and enjoy some of the activities. And, of course, there's things out and around the track that people can get to. It's going to be a fun
Absolutely.
Weekend. I guess I better let you get back to work because I'm sure you have a lot of stuff to do. And, Mike, I'd like to thank you again for joining us. I will get back to Dover one day. I promise you that. I'll make that promise, and I always keep them. So look for my application.
No problem. We can't wait to see you back here, and we can't wait to see all the fans coming up this weekend. And remember, if you have any questions or want to see what else is going on around the track, or want some more details, fans can visit DoverSpeedway.com or call 800-441-RACE, and we'll see everybody out here this weekend for our triple header.
All right. Thanks a lot. Take care. Have a good weekend. And we'll be wrapping up the weekend next Tuesday with all the action that was there. Okay? Have a good one there, Mike.
Okay, Vince. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye now.
Yep. Bye.
There you have Mike Lewis from Dover Communications. He gets to do all the talking. Gary Camp, who was promoted to vice president, used to be my regular guest, so he's got more things on his plate. So it's good to have Mike on. He's always a good guest. Dover, one of my favorite tracks. Used to go there a lot when I lived up that way. Matter of fact, I've been going there since 1999. But anyway, touch on the NHRA. In the top fuel, I'm just going to, we only have a few guests. I have another guest coming up shortly. In top fuel, Brittany Force went through some tough competition, going to Wayne Newby in round one, who was probably the toughest one, the easiest one to get through. Then she had Tony Schumacher and then defending champ Antoine Brown before facing Steve Torrence in the final. And Torrence, he's been on fire of late. Terry Heideck in round one, Leah Pritchett two, and then Dom Lagana, who is somebody that hasn't run much but made it all the way to the semis. And Brittany, where 375 with a 6 and an 068 off the light. Torrence with an 055, which is a fairly decent jump in a nitro car with a 385. But it wasn't good enough as Brittany takes the Wally. Moves to within 23 points of Steve Torrence, who is the points leader. So another good run for her, and could be in contention for a champion. I mean, there's only 4 races to go. There's another one this weekend out in St. Louis. In the funny car division, Courtney Force was trying to make it a Well, actually, she would have been up first, but because when they run the finals, they run it in reverse order with the Pro Stock bike, then Pro Stock, then Funny Car, and then Top Fuel. But Courtney was trying to get the Wally for Funny Car, and then she would have joined her sister on stage, but Ron Capps had other plans. His 043 got Courtney off the line with her 067, and then he had a 396 to Courtney's 399. So he was able to take the Wally and continue on as he's vying for another championship. In the Pro Stock event, Bo Butner took Greg Anderson with a 661. Was 666. Anderson, who had a heck of a jump with a 008 off the light to Butner's 047, should have been good enough for a hole shot. But with a 5/100 of a second gap, it wouldn't have been enough. Otherwise, if it was like if Butner had a 665, Anderson would have got him on the hole shot. But it wasn't to be. Anderson getting the short end there to his teammate, of course. But in the playoffs, and Eddie Krawick took Pro Stock bike. So Steve Torrence leads Doug Coletta by 22 and Brittany Force by 23. And then Antron is 51 back. Figure you can gain 80 points. There's 20 points between winning and 10 points for coming up short. So if you make it through the finals, you get 80 points. And if you pass, if she beats any one of these guys on the way, Coletta or Torrence, she can come out of Gateway with a points lead. In the Funny Car division, Ron Capps has an 8-point lead over Robert Height and a 39-point lead over Courtney Force. Of course, Height winning a couple of weeks ago, Courtney winning this week, coming up short this week, closed the gap. But if Courtney had beaten Robert Height would have had the points lead because of the gap, because that 10-point difference between winning the race and coming home second. Courtney would have been 29 back. Actually, I can't do the math that right way now. But Robert Height would have had the points lead by about 2 points over Ron Capps. And then Courtney would have been 21 behind. I'll tell you, that's a tight race too. And then in the Pro Stock end, Bo Butner with a 41 lead over the guy he beat, Greg Anderson. Tanner Gray, 42 back, and Jason Lyon, who's the third one in that Summit Racing crew, is 90 back. He has a little bit of a tougher road to hoe to get it, but it doesn't mean he isn't going to. And then Drew Skillman in fifth, Erica Enders in sixth. And as we go to Pro Stock Motorcycle, Eddie Krawick with a 71-point lead over L.E. Tonlett. Hector Arana Jr. is 89 back. Jerry Savoy, 116. And usually somebody up tight to the front. Krawick's teammate Andrew Hines is 120 back. So that's going to be a difficult way to make up the difference there. We're waiting for Jordan Anderson to give us a holler. He should be calling in shortly to talk about his race out at in Loudon, driving for TJL Motorsports. So Series will be in Las Vegas this coming weekend, and the Xfinity and Cup Series will be at the Monster Mile. As we look at the points, the playoffs have begun for the Truck Series. And Xfinity should be kicking off soon, or if they haven't already. Because right now, nobody has a win in the Xfinity Series in the points, but Justin Allgaier does lead the pack as we stand. In the Truck Series, Christopher Bell with one win. has already locked into the next round. Of course, Mike said he was leaning towards Kyle Larson, thinking he was going to take a win at Dover because he's come up short a couple of times. Came up short to Jimmy Johnson in June, and in the chase last year, I don't even see him there. Oh, there he is, 25th. So something he really probably doesn't want to dwell on. But if I had to go with it, it's hard to go against Jimmy Johnson. But Martin Truex, a little short last week. He was leading the race and then got involved in that wreck and had some damage and then was able to claw back, but not good enough to get the win back. So as we hope for our guest, let's see where he did. Uh, 21st. Had an electrical issue, cut his race short. Did have a good run going. 126 out of the 175 laps run. Christopher Bell did take the win. Ryan Truex took the second spot. Todd Gilliland third. Grant Enfinger fourth. Fifth, Stuart Friesen. Sixth, Matt Crafton. Ben Rhodes with 7th, 8th, Austin Cindric, Johnny Sauter, 9th, and rounding out the top 10, Kaz Grala. A lot of rookies in that field there, and it'd be good to see as they climb the ladder waiting for the playoffs. Come on, Jordan, waiting for you. I got people tuning in to hear your voice. I hope that I get you on in the points. Let's go to the tape. There's Christopher Bell talks about taking the win. His crew chief Rudy Fugle, and the course cut, he drives for Kyle Busch.
If I could have your attention in the media center, we will now continue on with today's NASCAR Camping World Truck Series media availability. And we're joined by our race-winning team for the 20th running of UNOH 175. We have Christopher Bell, driver of the number 4 Sirius XM Toyota for KBM. And we have crew chief Rudy Fugle and team owner Kyle Busch. We're going to start with you, Christopher. Your 5th win of this season, but most importantly, you start the playoffs with a victory and punch your ticket into the next round. How big of a victory was this for you today?
Yeah, it was really, really big to be able to win the first race, and now we can be more aggressive at Vegas and especially Talladega and try and win the race compared to how I did it last year and just kind of had to take my 5th through 8th place finishes and move on. So it's just a credit to Rudy and Kyle and everyone on this group of team that I got, man. They've been the team to beat for several years now, and with multiple different drivers. And it's a different driver every year, and the results are the same every year. So it's just a credit to Rudy and how well he can get his truck driving and the lucky guy to be in the seat.
And Rudy, you brought up a great point. You had this success last year, were able to do this with the Ford truck. Could you please walk us through how you're able to do that with multiple drivers coming into that car, going into that truck, and then moving on to that next round?
It's not easy, but the answer is people. Best race teams, best owners, best manufacturers. Who are the best manufacturers for sure, and all the help they give us. Great sponsors, and every one of the drivers has been special, including Christopher. So, they're all a little bit different, but they're all special. And then this race team is just really good at making every which one of our drivers feel like they're the driver of our team, and just getting used to what their different niches are and making it happen. So, proud to be the leader of this team and company.
Kyle, how satisfying was it for you to see the way Christopher drove, particularly in that final stage, to take that lead and then to close the deal?
Yeah, it was a good hard-fought battle there with Ryan up there, and we know how good those guys have been here as of late. And, with Christopher being patient and being able to work his way past Ryan was really good, obviously, for our team, and being able to score the victory in three lane, getting our Toyota into victory lane for everybody at KBM. So, it's nice to see, the Christopher and Rudy and the ability that they both have together. Obviously, as they mentioned, it's a really strong group, and I'd like to think that all three teams are strong teams. Just always a veteran driver is taking the lead and being able to push ourselves to even harder and make our equipment even better and getting ourselves into victory lane each week. So, like Christopher said, it's going to be cool to see these guys go to Vegas and not hold back, give it everything they got, and on to Talladega.
There you have the winning team in the Camping World Truck Series race. So, on to Xfinity. Tyler Reddick takes the win out of Kentucky Speedway for the Visit MyrtleBeach.com 300 Truck Series and a Cup in Loudoun and the Xfinity Series in Kentucky. So no interference from Cup drivers in this one. And Tyler Reddick takes the win. Brandon Poole second. Justin Allgaier third. Ryan Preece fourth. Cole Custer fifth. Elliott Sadler sixth. Daniel Hemric seventh. Brian Scott eighth. Ninth, Matt Tift. And Ryan Reed rounds out the top three cautions for 14 laps. Eight lead changes amongst five drivers. In the Truck Series, I forgot to mention that. Five cautions for 24 laps and eight lead changes amongst five drivers. Sounds like a carbon copy of the three caution carbon copy in the Xfinity race of the Truck Series. Same amount of lead changes, same between the same amount of drivers. In the Xfinity Series, Justin Allgaier leads the points. Cole Custer second, Sadler third, Hemric fourth, fifth, William Byron, Ryan Reed 10th, Brendan Gaughan is 11th, Blake Koch 12th. Blake Koch is 10th, Michael Annette is 11th, and Jeremy Clements in the 12th spot. They're getting ready to kick that one off. They have three races, eliminating four, and then three races, eliminating four. So they got a little ways to go there, getting it kicked off. And here's your race winner, Tyler Reddick, on his win out of Kentucky Speedway. And he drives for Chip Ganassi in the number 42 PBR Dustin Lynch Chevy.
We are now joined by Tyler Reddick, driver for number 42, CDR Jason Allison Chevrolet for 50 NASCAR, and the winner of NASCAR Indy 16 will visit Myrtle.com 300, along with crew chief Mike Giblet and Nick Harvey with NASCAR. Tyler, I'll let you finish that drink. We're going to start with you. Tell us a little bit about your first win here.
Well, you know, it's all about execution and having a smart race. And, you know, this is obviously the goal we are working for is winning a race. And it was all about being smart, executing, not making mistakes. We had plenty of opportunities throughout this race to throw it away, whether it was being too aggressive, passing lap cars, trying to pass the speed, pass the position on the racetrack, or even coming to pit road or on pit road. So plenty of opportunities to give the race away, and we had a pretty good sizable lead. So it was our race to throw away, and, you know, we played it smart. We were conservative. We were safe, and we got through 60 lanes, and got through the meeting room. So good night.
You and teammate Brennan Poole finished one. What's that mean for
Well, for me, I know that everyone that works really hard in the shop on these Xfinity cars, there's they don't lack any effort. There's no lack of effort. They put in 110% every single day. It was really cool to be able to come to the first chase race for us and come in here and leave with good all night long. I knew Brennan had some speed. It's just all about getting track position and then being able to manage it. And, I think we had a fast enough car to win stage one and two. We just couldn't quite get there. But with the long green flag run, we had opportunity to kind of get things spread out. And then, you know, starting back in eighth on that last restart for that really long green flag run. We had to be smart and just pick the cars off one by one and not make any mistakes. It was definitely one of those nights that the car was great. Everyone else did a really good job, and I just didn't mess up too bad, so we were able to park it.
There you have your winner, Tyler Reddick. Well, joining me for his debut appearance on Garage Talk Live, driver of the number one TJL Motorsports truck, a friend of mine, Tracy, was able to get this young gentleman on who is applying his trade in the Camping World Truck Series, Mr. Jordan Anderson. Jordan, welcome to Garage Talk Live.
Hey, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Well, what's it like getting into the Camping World Truck Series? You're not a rookie in the series, so but you're driving for Tracy, who is on her own doing this thing as a team owner. Of course, she was part of another team, which I won't mention in this conversation, but they decided to part ways and give you this opportunity to take the truck. And how's your experience been?
It's been a good year so far. You know, this is my third full season of the truck series, and got a good group of guys that I've got helping me out make this whole deal possible that we've been able to do this year. And we've really been fortunate to log some good results this year. We've taken the same truck that we started out with at Daytona of the season. We've run that same truck the whole season. And, you know, we've been really fortunate. We've gotten a couple top 15 finishes. I think we're 17th in points right now. And the biggest thing what we do from week to week is me and my friends that go on the road with us, we're old school racers. We love what we do. We're really a tight, close-knit family. The four of us drove up to New Hampshire last week, pulled the hauler up there, and we've been running it around town and working hard to get this truck ready for Vegas. And we're getting ready to leave out. Tonight, our plan is to roll out at 8 p.m. Out of Mooresville here, and we're going to head straight out to Las Vegas for this weekend's race. So it's really cool. I mean, we're doing things the way that NASCAR used to be. We've got a small crew, like I said earlier. We've got that we're taking everywhere. We're doing the most with what we have. We've got a little bit of a budget to work with, and we're just trying to do the most we can and get the best results possible and exceed expectations and, you know, just go grassroots racing, and it's been really cool to see how many people can relate to that and love what it is that we're doing.
Yeah, I've been following you since you joined the team and seemed to be doing pretty good considering, you know, you got all these big, super-funded teams ahead of you, and to finish as high as you do is pretty amazing.
I really appreciate that. We've been really blessed this year. Got a lot of great people that have helped make it happen. You know, we did the Fuel by Fans program earlier this season. We had a lot of the fans step up and help get that truck fixed after we had that crash in Atlanta earlier this season. You know, fans that basically I reached out to them. I said, you know, unless we get some support, you know, our season's pretty much over. And that crash in Atlanta was just kind of the wrong place at the wrong time. And we got the truck put back together, and that was where we had a couple of those top 15 finishes earlier in the season. And, you know, the biggest thing for us, it's so hard with just one truck to get from week to week, is being able to turn that truck around and keep it going. And it's been crazy the past couple weeks. I have to admit, you know, we've had some mechanical failures, just stuff that was out of our control. We should have had a few top 20 finishes here the past couple runs, and just crazy stuff happened. We had an input shaft on the transmission break in Chicago, and we had a alternator wire break in New Hampshire this past weekend, and just you know, things that happen to a small team sometimes when you got to run the same truck week after week. So we took some time this past week and put some new wiring harnesses in the truck and went through everything. So hopefully out at Las Vegas this weekend we can repeat what I did 2 years ago and get us a good run out there.
Well, that's the thing about too, like you said, using the same truck week after week, it is harder, but it is old school, and it's more. Isn't it more disheartening when something like a wire goes bad as opposed to, yeah, you can't control what happens in a wreck, but that's racing, or like you said, the shaft breaking in the transmission, the mechanical thing, you don't have a problem, but it's usually like when it's a wire, it's like, you know, that's probably more disheartening than some of the other stuff that might have went wrong.
Yeah, and you know, yes and no, because if it was a crash, it's a lot more disheartening because you know, as a driver, that's kind of hands on with what stuff costs and keeping the truck repaired. You know, you race differently. You kind of have a different respect and appreciation for your equipment. You know that if you go up there and you race with somebody and you knock your right front fender in, or you dent that left side door in, you know, you knock the tail off one of these trucks, it's you know, $3,000 to $4,000 all day long, and those are the kind of things that can really cut your season short. So you've got to race with a different appreciation of your equipment, take care of it, and I think it's a little different respect of how you drive. So you got to really pick and choose your battles, and you know, do the best you can to make that truck last as long as possible. And find that in between, because you know, at a driver at heart, you know, you want to be a hard nosed racer and get as much as you can out of your equipment and as good as fitness as possible for your team and all the people that help make it all possible. And you just got to kind of find that fine balance between the two things there. So, yeah, you know, there's all kind of different ways to look at it. But, you know, like I said earlier, we're really, really fortunate to have so many great people help make this all possible, because it's not any one person or any one thing that has made this season possible. It's so many different people that have, you know, helped through sponsorship with tires or gas money, or we've had Bomarito Automotive Group out in St. Louis. They've given us a dually to pull our hauler with this year. You know, we had some people help out with a motor earlier in the season. Tires, I mean, it's crazy. Food sponsors, hotel sponsors, all the people that help make this whole program tick. Just incredibly grateful to all people that chip in and like you said, that help this grassroots program work and help us get to the racetrack every week.
Yeah, that's the thing about a small team like yourself and TJL and what you got to go through, as opposed to having, like Skittles or Peak Antifreeze or some big sponsor or Target that gives you $5-6 million a year to run the whole season, where it probably takes a lot of pressure off you guys as a team, where you guys have to penny pinch and find your spots and do all sorts of things like that.
Definitely. And that's kind of one thing that we hope to work towards one of these days, as we've had some really great partners step up this year and keep our program going. We had Lucas Oil has been on the truck a lot this year. We've had, like I said earlier, Bomarito Automotive Group. We had LTI Printing has helped us out this season. Jacob Companies, a lot of companies that are bigger and have had a presence in the sport. Night Fire is another one. So many great people, like I said, that have made this all possible. And I went to school in Belmont, North Carolina. I graduated from Belmont Abbey with a degree in business management and a minor in marketing. And that's kind of one of the things that I've been working with some of our partners this year, looking forward to next year, is to create some B2B business-to-business programs that deliver value to our sponsors on and off the racetrack through connecting sponsors and delivering them an ROI both on and off the racetrack through some activation programs and keeping their bottom line going and kind of using our racing program as the driver to deliver those results for them. So it's that's the thing I love about racing, is it's a balance of sport and business. And it's really cool how you can really pull together so many different businesses together through our sport. And it really provides for an opportunity to create some interesting sponsorship programs that that deliver, you know, all kind of different purposes. So that's one thing looking forward to next year, that hopefully we can grow those relationships with our partners and get to a point where next year we have the opportunity to run better trucks and better motors. But it's just one of those things that just takes a little bit of time. And, you know, hopefully we've been putting in the hours this year that, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 years from now, we'll start to see it all deliver.
Does it makes a little difference? Usually you don't hear somebody like yourself who's majored in business and minored in marketing. Usually it's majored in engineering, and if they did have a minor, it's something off the beaten path or something mechanically related. So that kind of helps you in the long run get a grasp on things, to where somebody else who is a startup might not have an advantage there.
Definitely. And that was a crossroads I was at when I was 17, 18 years old. You know, I grew up racing go-karts, Bandoleros, Legend cars. I ran dirt late models for 2 years around the Carolinas. I ran super late models for 2 years, did some K&N East races, ran the old Hooters Pro Cup series, ran a couple of races there. And when I was getting ready to go into college, there were two different ways to go. I'd looked at the University of South Carolina or the University of North Carolina at Charlotte at getting an engineering degree. And I looked at Belmont Abbey, and it's such an amazing program. They've got it's basically a motorsports management program over there at Belmont Abbey. It's kind of a hidden gem here in Mooresville, North Carolina. You know, everybody comes here to pursue a career in racing in Mooresville and Charlotte and the surrounding areas. And the program really delivered because I had some professors that were in the sport. I believe one of them at the time, one worked for Roush, another worked for Ganassi, another had a marketing firm they ran, and really got some hands-on training from those guys as a teenager and in my early 20s as I graduated from college. And I kind of – the reason I went that way was the engineering degree would have certainly helped me understand the car better, but at the end of the day, to keep my career going, I knew that, you know, creating partnerships and creating marketing programs and putting together – basically sponsorship programs with our partners was what was going to allow me to keep my career continuing. And just looking back, I'm really grateful that I had the opportunity to go to college and keep my career going, because I think looking back, that is really one of the things that has kept me, you know, the opportunity to stay in the sport, and I'll forever be grateful for that.
Oh, you've been plugging Belmont Abbey pretty good. I think you ought to go over there and pay them a visit.
You know, it's crazy looking back as a driver. You know, I took economics classes. I took accounting classes. You know, I took an entrepreneurship class. And I think it was really good, well-rounded education, because being a small team like ours, you've got to really do so many roles. It's really like running a small business almost. You've got to you've got to say, all right, you know, we've got, and looking at your budget, we've got X amount of dollars to work with to go through these next several races, you know, and you got to take into account your wear and tear on your truck and trailer to get to and from the racetrack, your salary of the guys. And, you know, we've got a great group of guys that work with, like I said, but it's kind of crazy when you take into account that it really is kind of like a small business running this race team, because you've got to take into all those different things into consideration to be able to get to and from the racetrack every week.
Yeah, it is, and you know, it is a small business unless you're a mega team like Gibbs or Roush or Hendrick. But, and that's the thing about the truck series, that the way it started out is people like yourself looking to climb up the ladder into the Cup Series overall, and then I still think it's the best racing out of all three series just because of the length of the races. There is not a lot of that time where you can cruise around and hold back and you have to really get on it and go, and been echoed a lot of times. And then I hear some of the owner drivers talk about the cost it is and what it is to run up front like those guys, but maybe if they dialed it back and made it more of an independent sport, like, for, you know, with drivers like yourself, it wouldn't be so costly because you figure they're going to sink a lot of money in to compete against the teams that they have to compete with, which makes it harder for you guys. And I guess with the new rules next year limiting the amount of races the Cup or Xfinity drivers can take up, it allows you guys to probably climb, be a little higher in the race results and make a little bit extra cash as well.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting next year. There's a lot of new rule changes coming out. And, you know, to kind of go back what you said earlier about touching on the driver owners and, you know, one of the guys that I've learned a lot from, and he's helped me out a lot in my racing career is Mike Harmon. And Mike's kind of one of those guys. He's been around the sport for a while, and he just always figures out how to make things work. And I drove for Mike back in 2015. He kind of instilled that spirit in me of basically doing whatever it takes to get to the racetrack every single week and to do it as best as you possibly can with what you have to work with. And I think that's when you go to a NASCAR race, and whether you're in the Monster Energy Cup Series or you're in the Xfinity Series or you're in the Camping World Truck Garage, you know, you have two sides of the garage here. You've got your top tier teams that are on one side, and on the other side of the garage, you've got the teams like ours. And, you know, in the Truck Series, for example, you've got Cop Motorsports and, you know, Nice Motorsports and several other teams that are on the smaller end of the scale. And it's interesting. There's usually a lot different storylines that you hear from that side of the garage area, and they're really more people stories, because rather than talking about the competition side of things on that side of the garage, it's teams talking about, hey, these guys were at the shop till 2 a.m. last night, or hey, this team helped this team out with a certain part they needed, or you know, this team volunteered one of their crew members to help this team out. And it's just so cool how it really is much more of a family on the other side of the garage area of we're all just doing whatever it takes to get to the racetrack every weekend, and a lot of the teams have each other's backs. And so it's really, really cool to see that. And I think with the rule changes next year, it's going to make the competition tougher from first to last. It's going to hopefully close the field up a little bit. And it's definitely going to be interesting to see how this all shakes out here in the next couple of years. I think the sport is in a supply and demand transition, really. There's a lot of changes going on, like I said, from the Cup Series down to the Truck Series. And it's definitely a trickle-down effect. So the health of the Cup Series really determines the health of the Truck Series and so on from there. So hopefully with the positive direction that Cup Series has been going here lately, hopefully that will trickle down to the Truck Series. You know, whether it's from an exposure standpoint, more people come into the races, to the TV package, to, you know, new partners and new sponsors getting involved in the sport, the more positive things that happen in our sport, the better for the growth and continued growth of our sport and all the people that are in it.
Yeah, that's all you can do, and it ought to be interesting. I saw a couple of friends of mine who took pictures with you, and I'm sure you might remember them because there's two of them, and they look exactly the same, Ashley and Brittany.
Yeah.
A set of twins up from that area, and they're big fans of yours, so I just wanted to give them a plug. I even told them I was going to have you on, and I'd give them a plug, but talk about a great set of great race fans, and it's just the fact that they're identical twin sisters must really take the garage area by surprise when they see them walking around together. Everybody's got to do a double take.
No, it was great to see Ashley and Brittany up there this past week in New Hampshire. We first had the opportunity to meet them that race last year, and they're both so awesome. Both have great hearts, and always have appreciated their encouragement, you know, through my career and what we're trying to do on the racetrack, and they really believe in what it is that that we're trying to do. So that always goes back to, I've always said that what we're able to do at the track every week is through all the people that are praying for us and encourage us every week. And, you're always at the end of the day grateful for people that God puts in your life that keep you motivated, that are always spreading good vibes and positivity. And they're definitely two of those people. So you're always always grateful when you have people like that in your life. And like I said, it was great to see them this past weekend. Their dad was there at the racetrack and their mom to hang out. So it was great to see them. And that really is why I love the truck series so much. We're going out to Las Vegas this weekend, and I've got several friends that are out there that are going to come out to the racetrack and hang out with us. And we've got Talladega later in the season, and we've got Texas coming up, and Phoenix and Miami. And, this being my third year in the series, you meet people at all these tracks you go to. And it's just always so cool how you go to these new tracks and you meet new people and create new friendships. And it's just one of the really cool things about the sport and what it is that we get to do.
Oh, that's definitely for sure. Well, and I wish you all the luck in the world. I know joining up with Tracy is a good thing for you. She's a great person, and I wish her all the luck in the world, too. Will you guys be heading to Martinsville later on?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm looking forward to Martinsville. I know Tracy and I were actually talking about it up at New Hampshire. Hopefully here in this last half of the season, a little tongue twister there, we can really turn up our performance and run better here toward the end of the year, and really hopefully end our season on a strong note.
And then all that builds for setting things up for next year, and hopefully in the off season you can get everything lined up, and we'll see you higher up in the standings. And it's just great to see like teams like yours and her, Tracy's old partners, and like I said, niece who TJ Bell drives for, who used to drive for Tracy. He used to come on the show a bit too. So Jennifer Joe Cobb, all the individual teams out there, all do better next year. So it's great having you on for your debut. Hope you enjoyed it, and hope you'll come back to us.
Hey, look forward to it. Thanks again for allowing me to come on board and share our story of our team and what it is we're trying to do. And like you said, hopefully we can come on towards the end of the season and give everybody an update on how our season wrapped up. And I really appreciate you letting me come on air. Thank you.
Oh, anytime. And I'll be getting back with Tracy, and we'll have you on. And definitely, at least in Martinsville, because I'm not too far from there. I can't make it to the track this time around, but we'll try to have you on right before that or after that. Depends on which one you'd rather talk about going or what happened there. We'll figure that one out.
Well, I appreciate it, man. We'll talk to you guys later.
All right. Take it easy.
See ya. Bye.
Okay. Bye-bye now. There you have Jordan Anderson, driver of the number one TJL Motorsports, them pairing up individual team. Of course, I had to give a shout out to Brittany and Ashley. He does remember you. He met you last year, and you're a couple of great fans. Proud to have you as friends. Anyway, one race I still have to get to is wrapping up and make my pick. Kyle Busch takes the top spot, qualifying from the pole, winning stage two. Martin Truex Jr. won stage one, did lead a good bit of the lap, but and a good bit of the race. He led, but Kyle Busch led the most laps at 187 laps three times, gets 6 playoff points, locks into next round, the round of 12. So he doesn't have to sweat Dover. Kyle Larson coming in second. Matt Kenseth, a good run for him, in third. Brad Keselowski, fourth. Martin Truex rounds out the top five. Eric Jones, Clint Boyer, Daniel Suarez, Ryan Blaney, and Joey Logano. We had 6 cautions for 32 laps, 6 lead changes amongst 3 drivers. That would be Kyle Busch, Kyle Larson, and Martin Truex Jr. And Kyle Larson only led 1 lap, so most of this race was dominated by the Toyota teams of Busch and Truex. Margin of victory, 2.64 seconds. did not go overtime, but Kyle Busch, once he got the restart out, last pit stop, Truex took two tires, but it wasn't enough to keep him the lead, but it was enough to get him in the top five finish. He did get a stage point. Kyle Busch and on his win, making it to the round of 12.
Joined by the winner of today's 21st annual ISM Connect 300 here at New Hampshire Motor Speedway. And that is none other than Kyle Busch, driver of the number 18 M&M's Caramel Toyota for Joe Gibbs Racing. This was his 41st career victory in the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series, his third win of 2017. And his third victory here at New Hampshire Motor Speedway. Kyle, they say that, you know, advancing in the playoffs, sometimes the game of inches, you had you avoided some early trouble in the incident, and were able to get around and find your way to victory lane. How harrowing was that for you, and how close of a call was that for you?
It was a close call. You know, that was certainly a defining moment of the race, I think, with the 78 getting torn up a little bit and us being able to squeak through unscathed. So, you know, thankfully, you know, when I saw the wall of smoke coming off of turn two, I was far enough back that I just checked up real hard. I had Tony in my ear telling me to slow down or stop. And, you know, the cloud of smoke was so large that you literally couldn't see anything. And I think a couple of those guys in front of us just plowed right on in. You know, I saw the 33 get into it, and then the other one in front of me, I think, was a 47 car, and he was able to squeak through there between the wall and the 4, and I just followed him, hoping that that the 4 was done crashing and not inching forward anymore. So hopefully that was the case and helped save our race.
We'll open the floor for questions. If you have a question, please raise your hand. We'll go to Jerry, and then...
There you have Kyle Busch talking about the defining moment of the race that he didn't get gathered up in that wreck with... Kevin Harvick and his brother Kurt, and Martin Shorts got wrinkled in a little bit. So looking at the playoff standings, Truex and Kyle Busch move on. That leaves Larson, Keselowski, Hamlin, Kenseth, Jimmy Johnson, Ryan Blaney, Chase Elliott, Kevin Harvick, Jamie McMurray, Ricky Stenhouse Jr. on the positive side, and those facing elimination in this order: Austin Dillon, Ryan Newman, Kurt Busch, and Casey Kane. Kane and Kurt Busch having, and Dillon having rough times in the race on Sunday. Well, let's see. Who do we have? For the Monster Mile, and then Mike Lewis says Kyle Larson. Is who he thinks is going to get it. And I'm looking at either Truex or Johnson. It's hard to bet against Jimmy Johnson. Even though he did win this race, he has swept it. But you know what? I'm going to go against. You know, I've been 2-for-2. I picked Martin Truex in race 1. I picked Kyle Busch in race 2. Does Kyle Larson get it? Can he survive the monster? I don't know. Your big lap leaders in June were Larson, who led 241 of the 400, and Martin Truex, who led 102. Jimmy Johnson led twice for 7 laps and took the win at the end. And he round there, and then Truex. So, you know what? I'm going to go with it out on the limb. I'm going to say Martin Truex comes back from last week, takes the win. Hope everybody enjoyed the show. Special thanks to my guests, Mike Lewis from Dover Speedway and driver of the number 1 Chevrolet in the Camping World Truck Series, Mr. Jordan Anderson. I'm Vince Bonfig. We hope you all enjoyed the show. We'll see you all next week. Good day and good racing. Bye now.